Thank you so much for visiting us online today. We believe God wants to speak to you through the following message. If you would like to connect with us or send us your prayer request, visit us at kingsgatehobbs.com.
It's good to see everybody in the house today. Welcome to Kingsgate Church. If it is your first time, we love you and we're praying for you. We believe in you and you are always welcome back. If you're a regular here and a church member, it's good to see you again, but it's good to have everybody in the house today. Let's begin with a good confession, would you? Go ahead and stand to your feet another time for me. Don't worry, I'll let you sit down in a minute. I'll just be the only one standing. I want everybody to say, I believe that God is still a miracle worker. He has not changed. Say, truth is not an opinion. It is a standard ordained by God. No matter how I feel, no matter what I've been through, God is faithful, and he's still God, and he will deliver and perform what he said he will do. I believe. Let's give the Lord a clap offering today. Please be seated in God's presence. It's good to have you in the house. We begin a new series today entitled Miracles and Women of the Bible. Now, those of you men that are here, you say, well, is this just for women? Oh, no. Remember, the Bible is for everyone. Someone say, the Bible is for everyone. It's for men, it's for women. We're focusing on women this month in our message and in this format, Miracles and Women of the Bible, because it's Mother's Day month, right? Next month will be Miracles and Men of the Bible for Father's Day. So let's go to Acts 9:36. I want to read you a story. I'm excited about this. I've never taught. Not on a Sunday morning anyway. I've gone through this verse by verse on a Wednesday night when we studied the book of Acts. But look at this. It says, there was a believer in Joppa named Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. We will stick with Tabitha. She was always doing kind things for others and helping the poor. About this time, she became ill and died. Her body was washed for burial and laid in an upstairs room. Many folks said, well, that's it. We're heartbroken. That's it. But the believers had heard that Peter was nearby at Lydda. So they sent two men to beg him, please come as soon as possible. Look at the faith of these people. So Peter returned with them, and as soon as he arrived, they took him to the upstairs room. The room was filled with widows who were weeping. And what else were they doing? They were showing him the coats and other clothes Dorcas had made for them. This lady was full of faith and good works. But Peter, he learned from Jesus. Remember that story? Peter asked them all to leave the room. Then he knelt and prayed, turning to the body. He said, get up, Tabitha. And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, what did she do? She sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then he called in the widows and all the believers, and he presented her to them alive. Can you imagine how he felt, how they felt? That would have been incredible. The news spread through the whole town, and many believed in the Lord. I want to just pray a brief prayer with you so that this falls on good ground this morning. If you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Father, we thank you for this word, this time, this moment. May this capture everyone's heart this morning, and may it sink down into the spirit. Lord, this is not an accident for everyone who is here. Those who are first-timers, those who are, man, we may not see them again, those who will be back next weekend. Whatever the mix is today, we know that this word is for them, from you, Lord. It's not my word, it's yours. And we thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at point one today. I'm going to go get right into it. Point one, someone say there is always hope. There is always hope. I'm reminded of my mom. She fell very, very ill in 2012, 2013, especially 2013. It really got bad. And she got very sick. She had stage 4 cancer. And we were back and forth to the emergency room in Lubbock and different places. And, oh, man, it was just so tough that summer. I remember it was tough on Dad. He was strong. It was tough on us. We were strong, but there were tears. It was just tough. And I remember when Jen and I had gone on vacation in the midst of all that, we were advised, no, we got Mom. You guys go. Your trip is already planned. Come right back. She's going to make it. Well, after we'd agreed to go on that trip, I remember my brother and or sister contacted us and said, we took Mom to Lovington, and they've given her just a few months to live, I believe. 1 month. We'd heard the 6 months, but all of a sudden they said, there's 1 month. And I'll never forget how we felt. And I'm going to linger on this a little while about hope, but man, me and Jen were just heartbroken. There's a dock near Mom Brown's house, and we went out on the dock, and we're just looking out over the water and talking and praying, and it just felt so rough. And we decided to go. We were advised to go by everybody that mattered in our lives. Dad said, no, you guys go. Your trip's already planned. Go. Go visit the Browns. The Barkers said go. We went. Well, then we get this news. She's got a month to live. I'll never forget those moments where we were walking to and from the dock. Well, we get back home, and that month, Mom wound up in the hospital again. And I don't think this doctor will ever know it. I don't know if he was a believer. He seemed like one. But he was the house doctor at Covenant Hospital in Lubbock, and his name was Dr. Krusek. I'll never forget him. And we told him what we'd been told, and the guy looked at us. He was to challenge us. He had a fire in his eyes. I don't remember him being a big guy, probably my size or smaller. And he looked at us. We said, they're saying she has a month to live, that her body's starting to shut down, and she's winding down. She's getting ready for death. And I'll never forget what he said. He said, how do they know? Dr. Krusek, God bless you if you're still alive. He said, how do they know? They don't know what's going through a mind. They don't know what's going through a body. She may live years to come. And it's like he prophesied. He said she could live some more years. He said, how do they know her body, what her body's doing and her mind's doing? How do they know? They don't know that. Someone say there's always hope. We see in this story that this woman was dead, but they called on Peter, and the man of God came, and he raised her from the dead by the power of God. There's always hope. I'm going to give you kind of a crazy story. I don't know those of you that know your Christian rock history, but back in the day, Christian rock was frowned upon. And it's funny because the rock that was frowned upon, religious people would get mad. You hear it now and you almost laugh. It's like they should play it on K-Love, like just really relaxed. A little bit of guitar, that would offend everybody. I remember when guitar would freak out people in church. Well, DeGarmo and Key was this up-and-coming rock group, and they looked like rockers. That was their personality, but man, they loved Jesus. They led people to the Lord at their concerts. They were frowned upon. They were scorned and spurned. And they were in Canada touring as God was opening more and more doors for them. And they were driving through Canada, first time they'd rented a tour bus, and that night, they were supposed to drive 500 miles overnight. They had a professional bus driver, and it dropped to 40 below zero in Canada as the snow was falling, and so the bus had to stop. So the guys on the bus, they woke up early in the morning, and the bus was stopped, and they just all saw snow, and they had to walk a mile to get to a diner, and they said, what are we going to do? How do we get out of here? We don't know what to do. We got a concert. I think it was that night. That morning they woke up. They said, we've never missed a concert. Lord, they cried out to God. They prayed. They were at the diner. And it was 7 a.m. It was 9 a.m. It was 12. It was 2 p.m. Finally, Eddie DeGarmo, one of the leaders of the group, Christian rockers back in the day. They called it Jesus Rock. He went to the restroom, and he'd been praying. Keep your ears on. This is a little odd. But remember, there's always hope. And he's like, we're not going to make the concert. We've given our word. It's going to be packed. People will come to Jesus if we can lead them to the Lord and play our music. Well, he goes into a stall and sits down, and he's like, Lord, I don't know what to do. We've tried everybody. We've called everybody. We've begged diners. We've called around. We've asked, and everybody's like, it's 80 miles in either direction. You ain't getting there tonight, you know. When he sat in the stall, he looked, and somebody had written with a marker on the stall, and you know the stupid stuff they write in there, right? It said, for a good time, call Brenda. I'm not making this up. This was before cell phones. So he's like, Lord, this is crazy, but I feel like I need to call Brenda. And he's a man of God, married. He's like, I don't know about all that, but we need a ride. We need a miracle. So he gets to the phone in the diner and calls and goes, somebody goes, hello. He says, hi, may I speak with Brenda? The dude goes, this is Brenda. He goes, man, I don't know why I'm doing this. Somebody wrote your name in a stall here, and we need a miracle. We're a Christian rock group. He gives them a story, like in a few paragraphs, and the guy goes, you know what? I'm not doing anything today. I can get y'all there. So they go outside, and in a few minutes, the guy shows up. He lives nearby, and he drives them I don't know how this worked. I guess the roads were cleared at this point. He goes 100 miles an hour, and they leave at like 3 p.m. and go 200 miles and make it on time, between 200 and 300 miles. They make it to their concert. There's a guy named Carmen who was opening concerts for him at that time, and they were in Canada, and Carmen had already started. So they get there. The guy listens to the concert. He heard the message of Jesus. He wanted us, and he didn't even charge him for all that driving. He says, "You guys, it was worth bringing you tonight." And he said, "You know what? This was amazing. I'm so glad I did it." And he was hard. He cussed all the way to the concert. How many of you know there's always hope? I'm not advising that you call any numbers in restroom stalls ever. But there's always hope. Look at point two today. Our faith and works will not be forgotten. I already mentioned my mom this morning, but we have, even on the property, we have a Barbara Sinna Learning Center. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but it's the first learning center there for the older kids and King's kids, and it's for the after-school program. Mom and Dad founded this ministry. They founded the school, and it goes on. Mom's in heaven, and it goes on. And I got a grandfather who wrote a book about the Holy Spirit, and he was a missionary, and a grandmother that founded a Christian school in Brazil. And I got grandparents on Dad's side that read the Word and raised their kids in the Word and marked up their Bibles, especially Grandpa Sinna. And I'm telling you right now, in this life and the next, your faith and works will not be forgotten. Your faith and works are eternal. Here this lady was, she just died, and everybody's showing all the stuff that she'd given to them. Let's go to Hebrews 6:10. Sometimes we say, "Man, what am I doing this for?" You're doing it for God, and it will never be forgotten. It has been taken up to Him as a memorial before God. God says that in Scripture. God has taken your prayers and your righteous works, and it's a memorial before Him. For God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you've worked for Him and how you've shown your love to Him by caring for other believers, as you still do. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull and indifferent. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's what? God's promises, because of their faith and endurance. You catch the faith right there. Look at the first verse. Let's go back to the first verse. Verse 10. Look at this. He will not forget how hard you have worked for Him and how you have shown your love to Him by caring for other believers. So the first verse in this text that I read has works in it. The last verse brings up faith. It all ties together. It is faith and works, and it is eternal. Someone say eternal. It's crazy how people will die, and I know funerals are a mixed bag, because I've been to funerals, and people weren't too excited about the person who died, and they were trying to be polite. And then there's other funerals where everybody around knew that they weren't that great, but then they made them a saint. But then there's other funerals where everybody who was there knew that they actually lived the life of a saint, and they were amazing. Your faith and your works don't just end here. So people of God, dear church, men and women, I want you to hear me today. Just like in this story, your faith and your works, they follow you wherever you go, even in this life, even before you die, even before Jesus comes to take His church home and take His people home. Your faith and your works will always matter. That's why, think about it, the times that people go, "Thank you for praying for me." That's time, even in passing, they go, "Wow, it's pretty awesome you've been going to that church all these years." People make comments, even hardcore sinners. Did you know sometimes sinners will celebrate us more than those who are kind of in and out of church, what we call religious, not necessarily true believers, but religious, where they're kind of in the world, kind of in the church, and not really standing for God. They give you a hard time. But hardcore sinners, many times they will celebrate your faith. And did you know your faith and your works are an example for them to follow in this life and when you cross on? To this day, I think of my grandparents and my mom and my uncle that passed on. And I go, wow, their lives are truly exemplary. They were great examples. But you can be a living example. You don't have to wait till you die. The amazing thing about this story of Tabitha is that she passed away and her works followed her to the grave, but then her faith and works, man, followed her right back out of the grave, and she went back to work for God. That is something else. Just remember, there's always hope, and your faith and works are, and I repeat, they're eternal. They will not be forgotten. They cannot be forgotten. The memory of the righteous goes on forever. People look back when you're right with God and they go, man, weren't they a good person? Weren't they awesome to work with? Didn't they bring peace here? And they can say that while you're alive as you seek God. Say, man, you know what? This place was different when so-and-so worked. Back in the day, I had people tell me, you know what? When you left, it wasn't the same. It wasn't the same when you left, man. It was different. It wasn't quite the same. So I want you to think about that. Never forget it, that your faith and works will not be forgotten. Now look at point three today. Then we're going to do something a little different. I'm going to call for prayer a little earlier than usual today so I can pray with you and agree with you. But miracles can awaken faith. If you've ever followed any of these great men or women of God, Catherine Kuhlman, Amy McPherson, Benny Hinn, we've seen it even on mission trips, even with folks from this church that have gone on mission trips with other organizations. What will happen is people begin to get healed at an event. And what they'll do is they'll have them come up and testify about their healing. And they'll present it to whoever's preaching and teaching and speaking the healing. Why? They say, so-and-so just got a miracle over here. So-and-so just got a miracle over here. Why? Because miracles awaken faith. Why do you think Jesus' ministry was so full of miracles? Because one led to another. One led to another. Let's go to that. Let's go to Acts 9, 42. Acts 9, 42. See what that says for me. The news spread through the whole town. The miracle, right? Tabitha being raised from the dead. The news spread through the whole town, and many believed in the Lord. Some of you go, why are the pastors talking about miracles all the time? Why are there altar calls for miracles? Why are we talking about it? Why are we playing it up? Because did you know his name is above every name, Jesus, but you will make him famous. And as you make him famous and bring his name up, man, people will start to believe. And when you get a miracle, people will go, you know what? I need a miracle. As you get a miracle, someone will go, you know what? If they get a miracle, why can't I? I remember years ago, we had a black brother that used to come preach here years ago. He's an older man now. I believe he's still alive. He said, man, you know what? He just called dad white, you know. Because dad would testify about miracles and say that the property was debt-free. And he came and preached one time and said, God, if you'll do it for a white man like Pastor Fabian, he said, you'll do it for me. And because dad had gotten a miracle and preached about it, this man of God began to pay off all his property. He was a pastor. One miracle leads to another miracle. Why? How? People see God's love and power. People see that he's real. And it reminds us that we can receive a miracle too. That's always done that for me. When I see people receive miracles, I go, why can't I receive a miracle? They got a financial miracle. They got a miracle in their body. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. Some of you have received miracles in your body, but you've struggled with miracles in your finances. Some of you have received miracles in your family, but you've struggled with miracles in your body. Some of us, and it's true, it's true for all of us. And God was speaking to me this morning during worship, is I'm going to believe for miracles in every area of my life. Continued health, any areas of my body that need healing, finances, relationships, this ministry. And here's what's crazy. You this morning, you're part of a miracle on May 5th, even with how many people are in this house. It's well over 100. And I don't know if you've noticed, but this church, it's gradually growing in the English right now. Speak for us. I know the Spanish is growing as well, but this is growing, and that is a miracle. And miracles breed miracles. And you want me to tell you how to be part of a miracle this morning? Invite two people to church every week. You see, the last two I invited didn't show up. Then invite five. The law of percentages are with you the more people you invite. Somebody's going to show up. Even if they wake up and hit the alarm clock, just stumble in here on a Sunday. Praise God, we got room for everybody. Miracles breed other miracles. And you're part of a miracle right now as you watch this church grow and people come to know Jesus. And we're going to talk some more about miracles. But let me review. Number one, there is always hope. Someone say always. There's always hope. Some of you, man, you're in a situation, you say, man, that is dead to me. It's over. I don't know. It depends what it is. Might not be dead yet. There's hope. Number two, our faith and works will not be forgotten. They are eternal. They will follow you all around in life, and they will follow you into heaven forever. Someone say forever. And number three, miracles can awaken faith. It's like a domino effect. You ever seen dominoes just fall? Or an explosion cause other explosions? Or this causes this. It's a chain reaction. One thing leads to another. That's how miracles are. And the more people believe, more miracles happen. So I want to challenge you right now. I want to do something a little bit different. Everyone in the house, go ahead and stand to your feet if you would today. I'm going to pray for salvation because that's what I do, not just because it's a habit. It's what I do as a man of God in reconciling people to the Lord. And we're going to do a call for salvation, but after that, I'm going to do an altar call. And it will be for everybody as well. So bow your heads and close your eyes. If there's anyone in this house, at the sound of my voice, it says, Pastor Matt, if I died, I don't know if I would go to heaven. If you've never accepted Jesus, or you need to rededicate your life to him, I need you to raise your hand, and I'm going to pray with you today. God bless you for your courage. Thank you. Anybody in this house, God bless you for your courage. Thank you. I see hands coming up all over this place. Thank you for your courage. I believe most of these hands are for recommitment. Say, Heavenly Father, I am your child, whether I've struggled or not. I am yours. I have already accepted you, so I repent. Please forgive me of my sin. Lord, you know what it is, and it's between me and you. But cleanse me. No matter how far I've walked away, it's one step to be in your arms again. Please forgive me. Cleanse me. Receive me, Lord God. Thank you for your forgiveness. I love you, Lord. Jesus is my Savior, and I will live like he is my Lord. In Jesus' name. In that same respect and reverence, if there is anyone in this house who says, Pastor Matt, I need a miracle, I want you to step out in faith physically and spiritually and come to this altar as quick as you can. Face me. Say, I need a miracle in finances, in my body, with my kids, with my relationships, something that's been on my back all these years and I'm struggling with it. Whatever it is, I need a miracle. Come on up here. There's more of you. Come on, I'm going to give you a moment. Say, man, is Pastor Matt pressuring me? No, I'm just giving you a chance to have your moment with God, because it takes courage to walk up here. And look at this. See, this builds faith. When folks see other folks going, come on up. You say, man, I need a miracle. Wow. Everybody in the house, including those at the altar, receive your miracle by faith right now, whatever it is. Lord, if what has been holding their miracle back is demonic, I break it right now in Jesus' name. I break every spirit of the enemy, every kind of distracting, every kind of spirit that would block their blessing and hold it back. You get out of the way in Jesus' name. I break you and I cast you off and I cast you out. Lord, if it's something in their hearts, if it's someone they need to forgive that's holding back the miracle, go ahead and forgive. If you need to forgive all over this house, if you need to forgive someone, tell the Lord you're sorry for holding a grudge. Go ahead and whisper it. Say, I forgive them. Go ahead. We've cast the enemy off. Now we're going to, this is a big blessing and miracle blocker is unforgiveness. Let it go. Forgive them right now. Forgive them right now. There you go. And then you go on to say, well, I've been believing for this for a long time. Doesn't mean you've been believing for the wrong thing. It just hasn't happened yet. You got a witness in your spirit. You're like, no, I know God's going to do this for me, and I'm not going to give up. I got that son that is wayward. I don't know that he's living for God, or I know he's not living for God, or that daughter's not living for God. They're coming home, Mom. They're coming home, Dad. You'll see. You'll see. You're going to get a miracle with him. And it may not be pretty, but God's going to get their attention, and you will see. I declare miracles and healings in your bodies right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Pastor John, you're welcome to wander. You can lay hands on who you want to. in Jesus' name. You need a miracle in your body? Whether someone touches you with their hand today or not, we declare a miracle in your body. Now we declare a miracle in your finances. You say, wait, how do I get that rolling? How on earth do I get my finances going? Well, first of all, make sure you're a tither and a giver according to Scripture. Make sure you're a tither and a giver. That opens a door that unblocks the blessing. If you're not robbing from God, man, he will pour the blessing out. You say, man, it's something else. I've been tithing and giving. Then guess what? Then it's like a dam holding back the water. That dam's going to burst, and God is going to bless you soon. I can see it. I believe it. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You say, man, Lord, I've been believing in this area of my life for so long. I need it. I need it. It's on its way. Now, I want everybody up here to look at me, and then I will send you back to your seat here in a moment. You have already believed. You've believed. You heard the story today. It's not just a story. It's straight Scripture. You have believed. Miracles beget miracles. Your miracle's coming, sis. I don't know what it is. It's on its way, though. It's on its way. God's hand is on you, and he hasn't forgotten about you. And he's seen that you're faithful now on Sunday mornings, and he's taking you to the next level of faithfulness. And the work that he's begun in you, he will finish. Philippians 1:6 says, the work that he started in you, he will finish. He's not done with you, with your family, with your finances. You're going to be a great example and a light to him. And I speak the joy of the Lord over you, a new joy over you. The sadness is gone. Doesn't take a genius to know you've had your heart broken. Everybody has. But God is, he's renewing your heart where it's going to be brand new. It's like it was never broken. You'll be wiser, but you'll be fully healed. Your heart is healed and you're whole, and God's looking forward to your future with you, and he has it prepared. God is not done with you. God's not done with you. Someone say, I have believed. So you're going to receive it now. It's just a matter of time. It could be today. It could be next week. It could be next month. Let's give the Lord a clap offering for miracles in this house.